today on The King is Coming.
Now, I get asked this question a lot. Jeff, do you believe that Antichrist is alive today? Well, we'll learn this when we talk about Antichrist and the rapture, but if the rapture were to come in 40 years, then certainly Antichrist is alive today, because Antichrist is not going to rise to power when he's 10 years old. He certainly has to have some sense of stature, some sense of political clout in the last days. So even if the rapture is 30 or 40 years away, then Antichrist is certainly alive today. The Bible says in the last days, a lone figure will arise in history. He will be the counterfeit Messiah, the man of sin, Satan with skin on. He is Antichrist. We've been studying Uncovering the Mysteries of God here at The King is Coming, and I've written a book by the same title. I'd love for you to have a copy. Just go to thekingiscoming.com and order your copy today.
For any gift of $20 or more, order your copy of Uncovering the Mysteries of God today. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you. We're living in an era defined by global unrest, natural disasters, political strife, and ever-shifting morality. Though we may feel tempted to question God's presence, these trends actually signal the nearness of Christ. For your gift of $20 or more to World Prophetic Ministry today, you will receive a copy of Jeff Kinley's book, Aftershocks. Learn how to live in this chaotic world with complete confidence in God's plan. Call today.
Well, welcome to The King is Coming. I'm Jeff Kinley, and I'm so glad that you've joined us here. We're starting a 7-part series on Antichrist, the coming Prince of Darkness. And there's so much intrigue, so many questions that people have about Antichrist. We're going to dive into this series. It's going to be something you're going to want to watch every single episode, because there's so many things we're going to cover about the Antichrist. What we're going to do, first of all, is just talk about Antichrist. Who is he? And is it possible that he's not even a man? In fact, how do we know that there really is an Antichrist that's coming in the last days? Well, when you talk about the subject of Antichrist, there's basically 4 possibilities that you can conclude about this coming man of sin. Number one, that maybe he's just a figment of John's imagination. I mean, let's be honest, most Bible scholars believe that John wrote Revelation when he was about 95 years old. He was a very old man. Previously, church tradition tells us that John had been boiled alive in oil for his faith. So maybe John is experiencing some sort of post-traumatic stress, boiling oil syndrome or something like that. Maybe he's just kind of a little bit senile. So people may write off the whole idea of Antichrist and the apocalypse from that standpoint. Another possibility is that Antichrist is more of a symbol. In other words, he points more to a governmental system, not to an individual. Maybe he's pointing to maybe a secret committee of world leaders, or maybe even to artificial intelligence. Now, to come to that conclusion, you have to approach the book of Revelation from purely a symbolic standpoint. In other words, you can't take what the Bible says literally. We here at The King is Coming, we take the Bible from a literal, grammatical, historical context. So we would reject that particular conclusion. Another possibility is that Antichrist is merely something that is a representative sort of language. In other words, he just represents evil in general. Again, this would be a symbolic approach to it and not seeing it as a literal person. And if that's true, then what do the rest of the characters in Revelation mean? What about the angels? What about the demons? What about the events that take place? The judgments, are they literal or symbolic? What about places? What about the churches? What about Babylon? What about Jerusalem? All of these things in Revelation then come up for grabs if you take it purely as a symbolic representation. And then possibility number 4, which is the one that I believe in, is that Antichrist is indeed a real person. Now, why would we say something like that? Well, the word Antichrist is used 5 times in the New Testament, and every time it points to a real individual or the spirit of a real individual. The Bible tells us that when we look at Antichrist, that he's seen as an actual person. Nowhere in the Bible is Antichrist portrayed as being something of an ethereal symbol or a metaphor of something else. Always points to be an actual person. So I think it's best to see Antichrist as a real person. In fact, if we take Antichrist as a symbol, then we have to think about John's other writings. Well, if John's just writing symbolic literature at the end of the Bible, then what about 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? What about the Gospel of John? Are those also to be taken symbolic as well? So it's important that as we study the scripture, that we begin with what we call a literal, grammatical, hermeneutic as we look at scripture here. Now, other places in scripture, we see the authors describing Antichrist as also being a real person. In fact, in all through the book of Daniel, we see Antichrist as a real person. Zechariah, the Apostle Paul, of course, John, and then finally, Jesus himself portrays Antichrist as a real person. And so let's talk about now, what does the Bible actually tell us about Antichrist? Now, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, we're going to be flying through these topics together because there's so much that we're going to cover. But what can we know for sure about Antichrist? The first question we need to ask is, why should we even talk about him? I mean, shouldn't we just talk about Jesus all the time? Well, one reason why we talk about Antichrist is because he's in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that all scripture is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for training in righteousness. And so if it's in the Bible, then we definitely should be studying it. A second reason why we should study Antichrist is that there are over 100 different passages in the Bible that talk about Antichrist. You know, if you're a teacher, you know that if you say something one time, it's important. You say it twice, it's very important. But if you say it 100 times, it's going to be on the test. And so Antichrist is covered throughout the scripture, and it's a very, very important topic. In fact, he's the most prominent end times figure other than Jesus Christ himself. Also, the word beast is used to describe Antichrist in the scriptures. And this word beast is a Greek word therion, and it means a wild and ravenous beast. And the word is used some 36 times in the book of Revelation. He's called the beast. Now, here's another interesting verse here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Now, John, of course, is the one who wrote Revelation. He's the one who tells us about Antichrist more than really anyone else. But in 1 John 2:18, John writes this. He says, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming," he says, "even now many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour." So one of the things that John tells us is that in the last days, we're going to see Antichrist-like figures rise up in history. And these are people that deny that Jesus is the Christ. They're the ones that promote themselves. And John said in the very first century that he was in the last hour. So that's 2,000 years ago. So if John was in the last hour 2,000 years ago, where in the world are we right now? If history was a clock and he was in the last hour, then perhaps we're in the last minutes or the last seconds of human history. And so we know that Antichrist is definitely coming. In fact, Revelation in chapter 13, we see it all through Revelation, but in chapter 13 specifically speaks of this Antichrist figure and what he's like, what he'll do in the last days. We're going to cover all that in this intriguing series. And then finally, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, that the spirit of Antichrist is alive in the world today. And I want to look at that together. In John 1, 1 John chapter 4, he tells us this. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they're from God." Because not every person who talks about God or the Bible is actually from God. He says, "Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." Now listen to what John says. He says, "And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, the one that confesses that Christ is not God. He says, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world." So this spirit of Antichrist is something that has been prevalent in the world really since the first century and before, as we'll see in later episodes. But right now, in these last days, we're seeing a preponderance, an emerging of the spirit of Antichrist, really gaining strength, gaining speed with acceleration here in the last days. And so the spirit of Antichrist is among us. Now, I get asked this question a lot. Jeff, do you believe that Antichrist is alive today? Well, now we'll learn this when we talk about Antichrist and the rapture, but if the rapture were to come in 40 years, then certainly Antichrist is alive today, because Antichrist is not going to rise to power when he's 10 years old. He certainly has to have some sense of stature, some sense of political clout in the last days. So even if the rapture is 30 or 40 years away, then Antichrist is certainly alive today. And so we'll talk more about that in future episodes. Now let's talk about what the word Antichrist really means. When we talk about anti, the word really has two nuances to it. The first means against, and the other means in place of. And when we look at the seven-year tribulation, we see that the first half of that tribulation, Antichrist is sort of acting in place of Christ. He's a counterfeit Messiah. He's a false teacher. He's a false prophet. But he's substituting himself as a savior for the world. And as we'll see, the world's going to be looking for a savior in those days. So anti means in place of. But secondly, anti also means against. And this is the second half of the tribulation that Antichrist is going to posture himself. He's going to portray himself as someone who is against Christ. He's going to be the one that says, hey, the real Christ is not legitimate. It's not valid. I am the real God. I am the real Christ. Now, Jesus in Matthew 24 gave us a hint as to exactly what this is going to look like. And basically, he says here in chapter 24 and verse 4, he says, when his disciples ask him about the last days, he says, and see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And he says, and you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're going to talk more about this Antichrist person when we come back after this quick break. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So Christ tells us there's going to be many false Christs that will arise in the last days, and obviously the one that will take prominence in that will be the Antichrist himself. Now there's a lot the Bible tells us about the Antichrist, and we're covering this in this seven-part series on Antichrist, the coming Prince of Darkness. What do we know about him? Well, the Bible gives him a lot of names, and in Scripture, a name represents who a person is. And so we see that in the Bible, that in the book of Daniel, for example, the Antichrist is described as the little horn. Now, this idea of him being the little horn means power or authority, and little horn means that he doesn't start out that way. In other words, he rises from obscurity. And this is one of the reasons why it's futile, we'll talk about more reasons later, but why it's futile to try to identify the Antichrist right now. Satan right now, concerning Antichrist, is holding his cards very close to his chest. And so he's not letting us know who he is. He's keeping him in the shadows, as it were. And so when people come out and say, well, this political leader, he's the Antichrist or whatever, that can't be known right now. So he's the little horn. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 says he's an insolent king. And the word insolent means he is skilled in intrigue. In other words, this person has great skills in being able to cause people to be curious about him, to be intrigued about him. He's someone that draws people to himself, and they don't even really know why. And we've had examples like that in American politics where someone very charismatic has risen from the shadows, and we go, wow, he's the one. And turns out he ends up being the one. I like to say that Antichrist is going to have the charm of a John F. Kennedy, the mystique of a Barack Obama, but the arrogance of an Alexander the Great. And so he'll combine all those things into one person. Now, in Daniel 9:27, the scripture tells us that Antichrist is also called the one who makes desolate, concerning the abomination of desolation. We're going to take a deep dive into this, what this abomination of desolation really is, in a future episode. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first. We'll talk about that later. He says, and the man of lawlessness and will be revealed, the son of destruction, or some translations say the son of perdition. Now, when it talks about this man being a man of lawlessness, it's a Greek word that means without law or without God's moral law or God's standards. And so basically the Antichrist is going to be a law unto himself. He will be the law to which he appeals. He'll be the standard that he will basically send out an edict to the whole world that they have to obey. He'll be the one. He'll be the Supreme Court. And there'll only be one chief justice and one justice on the court. That's Antichrist. So he'll be lawless. But the second aspect of this lawlessness is that he casts off all of the law of God. And he basically says all the things that God says in his word are invalid. They've expired. And now I am the new standard. I am the new moral law. So he'll be called the man of lawlessness. And then we saw also in this passage that it says he's going to be called the son of destruction. And basically what that means is that he's going to bring about a great destruction on the earth through his policies, through his laws. He's going to make new laws, the Bible tells us, in the last days. And he's going to bring destruction to humanity. Now, he'll come on the scene promising one thing, but in the end, he's going to end up bringing really total chaos and destruction to planet Earth. And this scripture tells us, as we've seen in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, that he's called the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. Now, again, there have been many Antichrist-like figures, that people that have prefigured Antichrist in the past, and there'll be others leading up to Antichrist, but he is the one. He's the bona fide original article here. He's the one that Satan has been looking to promote all these years. Now, there's some other things the Bible tells us about Antichrist, and we're going through these things in sort of a rapid-fire fashion, but I want to give you really the full picture of who he is, sort of a silhouette of what Antichrist really looks like and what he's going to do. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 and in Revelation 17 that he's going to be an ambitious politician. So, in other words, the Antichrist is not going to be a taxi driver. He's not going to be a baker. He's not going to be a clothing store owner. He's going to be a politician. He's going to be someone that rises through the ranks of some global network to the pinnacle of the global elites. And he's going to be someone that's going to be pursuing that all along. And that's one of the things about Antichrist that we know, is that he's going to rise to the pinnacle of the political mountain. And so he'll be a great politician. But scripture also tells us in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 38 that he's going to be a military demagogue. Antichrist is going to have armies at his disposal. And as we'll see later on, he's going to bring together a coalition of governments over which he will rule. And then he'll be the commander in chief of essentially all of those military forces. And it tells us in Daniel 11:38, it says he will honor a god of fortresses. In other words, he'll have to have a way to enforce his policies and to even persuade with power some of those to come along with him. And so he's going to be a man who is pursuing great power. I mean, think about it in the world today. If a government has power and authority, they can tell their citizens to do anything. Even in our own country, we haven't had our government sick the military on us, but they've had these edicts, these mandates, these things that they said, hey, do them or else you can't travel, you can't leave your home, you can't buy or sell, those type of things. Listen, we're going to see more of that with Antichrist, but he's going to back it up with his military might. And this scripture tells us this. It tells us he's going to be very charming, very cunning, and very, very deceptive. Back to that passage that we looked at in Thessalonians, it says here in verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it says he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god of worship. And then later on in that passage, it says here that in verse 9 that he is one coming with a court with the activity of Satan with all power and signs and wonders. Now, what it's basically saying there is this. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, he had a message, all right? And his message was authenticated by his miracles. So in other words, Christ did miracles to do two things. Number one, to prove that he was God. He was from God. And number two, to authenticate and validate his message. And so when Christ did a miracle, it basically told people, hey, he's the real deal. He's the real thing. Well, Antichrist will do the same thing. In fact, the Greek words used to describe the signs and wonders here in verse 9 are the same words used to describe the signs and wonders of Jesus and of the apostles. And so these will be actual supernatural acts that are going to take place. But why is he doing those? Well, to validate something. Verse 10, it says, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. So Satan's going to come. He's going to be very cunning and deceptive through Antichrist. Now, he'll be deceptive with his words. He'll be deceptive with his actions. And he'll be deceptive with his signs and wonders. So his signs and wonders will make you believe the things he's saying, even though many of these things, most all these things, will be lies. And we have that experience here in our own country, don't we? We have a person who runs on a campaign, and they give you all these promises, and they get in office, and nothing ever happens. Well, we call those lies. And Antichrist is going to be a chief liar because of who he's backed by, which is Satan. And so this whole idea of Satan being in Antichrist and through Antichrist, and people ask the question, Jeff, do you think that Antichrist is going to know that he's the Antichrist? Well, that's a great question. We'll come back to that in just a minute. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now at this time more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So does the Antichrist know he's the Antichrist? Well, the Bible doesn't exactly tell us. But when you look at the first half of the tribulation period and all of his activities in the first half of the tribulation period, that could conceivably be explained by just a man who is drunk with power, who is drunk with wanting to rule the world. That could happen to any ambitious politician. But once you get to that midpoint of the tribulation where the Bible says that he is fully possessed by Satan, I believe, at that point he may know, yeah, he's possessed by Satan. He is the one who is the anti or the counterfeit Christ. But it's hard to tell. I think more likely the Antichrist will self-deceive, even as Satan does. He'll think he actually is a god of some type, maybe even the god. So there's some mystery there, but that's as far as we go with what the Bible tells us. So he's going to be arrogant. He's going to be cunning. He's going to be lawless. And the Bible tells us he's going to be blaspheming. In fact, Daniel chapter 11, and verse 36 says this. It says, then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and he will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. This is blasphemy. In fact, the words that will come from Antichrist's mouth will be words that perhaps the world has never heard before in terms of the level of just incredible blasphemy that Satan will inspire Antichrist to say against Jesus Christ, against the Holy Spirit, and against God the Father. So there's going to be blasphemy. And so another thing that we know about Antichrist, the Bible tells us, we'll get into this a little bit later, is that he harbors this ancient hatred for the Jewish people. And this is something that, as we'll see, is very historical. It comes from the ancient ambition that Satan has. So he's going to hate the Jewish people. And by the way, we're seeing that happen in the world right now, as we'll talk about later. A couple of the quick things about Antichrist before we close. Scripture tells us he's going to be a man full of rage. As we've seen, he's going to be someone that is a great deceiver. He's going to have incredible leadership skills. He's going to have great diplomacy. He's going to be able to have to promote great strategies for the world. And people are going to say, this is a great idea. Why don't we think about this? This man is incredible. And they're going to follow him. But by the way, this is all just the tip of the iceberg as to who Antichrist really is. We saw from 1 John 2:18 that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, and that spirit is alive today, as we saw it. But the reason why God gives us this info, this critical intel, is because he wants us to be discerning, to be able to recognize the spirit of Antichrist as not only it's in the world today, but also as it's creeping into the church. That's right. It creeps into the church as well. And so as you and I develop these biblical skills, as we know more about what the scripture says, then we're going to be able to recognize that spirit of Antichrist and to combat that with the truth of God. Because we're anchored in the scripture. That's the one thing that roots us and keeps us grounded is the word of God. So make sure that as we talk about all these things, that we don't get sidetracked and go off into speculation, sensationalism. No, we want to say what the word of God says and nothing more. So this series that we're doing, I believe, will help you recognize the spirit of Antichrist. It'll help you combat the spirit of Antichrist. And by the way, it'll guard your own heart as well. Because the scripture tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, that as we get the scripture in our minds, it actually transforms our minds. It renews our minds so that we can understand how to discern life out there. That's what Paul prayed for the Philippian believers, that you may grow more and more in real love and true discernment. And nowhere do we need more discernment than when we talk about the end times, the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, and specifically here in this series, the Antichrist. So I want to encourage you, don't miss a single program in this series. And we'll come back next time. We'll talk more about Antichrist. When's he coming? That's a big question. When is the Antichrist arriving on the scene? That's going to be next on The King is Coming. God bless.
Join Jeff Kinley in our newest series, where ancient questions meet brand new insights. Questions like, how can Christ be both God and man? Why is there so much pain in the world if it was created by an all-loving God? This series will invite you to ask hard questions. It will challenge your thinking and push you to seek God for inspiring revelations only found in the scriptures. Ready for a journey that challenges everything you think you knew about faith? Let's dive in together. For any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming, ask for your copy of our amazing 7-part DVD set, Uncovering the Mysteries of God. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code. Thank you for your support.